Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Hey, it's Sparky Pfeiffer here at 55 past the hour at 12:50 a.m. The Fan, live from the Wendy's studio. So don't forget Wendy's late night, baby. It's so good. I just tweeted the other day at Sparky Radio, a couple double stacks and a fry and frosty I got there just the other night. Wendy's is open until midnight or later, which means all your favorite menu items are up later, too. The Baconator still tastes just as juicy and just as bacony at night. So listen to that craving. Ignore that little voice in your head telling you to turn in for the night. Unless it's telling you to turn into the Wendy's drive-thru, of course. Hours may vary at participating U.S. Wendy's. Time now to be joined by our guy Tim Dillard for his weekly appearance. And, of course, he is part of the Brewers Unfiltered podcast. Download that on your Odyssey app or at brewers.com with Adam McKelvey, Sophia Minert, and, of course, Tim Dillard. Tim, the draft is in play here. The Brewers have already made some selections. What advice would you give to these guys that are about to head to the minor leagues for the first time?
Wow. I mean, there's a long list. I don't know if anything's more important than the other, except the game's hard, so get ready for it to be hard. But I would say stop calling your coaches coaches, right? You start calling everybody by their first name. You don't walk in the spring training, extended spring training, or whatever they have now, and be like, hey, coach. You know, that just, for whatever reason, it just doesn't fly. So get to know everyone's first name and get ready to be humbled a little bit. You probably went from, you know, being the top guy and the big fish in the pond or whatever, and now everyone's pretty legit. So I don't know. That's about all I can come up with at this very second.
You know, it's got to be an adjustment, I would think, coming from high school in dealing with the minor leagues versus coming from college, because, of course, the maturity level and living on your own in college and that stuff versus leaving mom and dad's house and becoming a professional.
Yeah, love you, Dad. No, it is. You can. There's always an old cliche where you could pretty much tell if a guy came from high school or college. Just those, you know, year or two or three is a big difference maturity-wise. You know, when you got guys that come in and they've, you know, never had an apartment or never had to do laundry. Of course, that's probably changed now. I feel like with everything going on, you could probably Uber somebody to do your laundry. I don't know. but back in the day, you know, it was just life skills, right? And in high school, you're just at a disadvantage because you do have that that little bit of shelter. So I don't know. It's you can always tell a lot of times, but to me, younger the better. Like, get in the game as young as you can and start playing right away.
How much stock do you put into the draft now? I mean, obviously when you're playing, you don't probably don't really care about it all that much because you're playing, you're in the middle of it. Now that you're in your new gig now with Bally Sports Wisconsin, how much stock do you put into the guys they're drafting, the positions they're drafting, where they're coming from and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, baseball's baseball. You want to play like, you know, a higher level of baseball. I know it's tough sometimes in college because you hear these guys talk about their program. Hey, you got to learn our program. But, you know, 30 teams in the big leagues, like, they pretty much do everything the same in a lot of ways when it comes to how they practice, So anytime you go and you go through a system, it's like you learn it one way, and this is like, you know, this is the only way to do things, right? And then you get into the larger world of professional baseball and you realize, oh, I haven't been doing it that correct for this long, you know? So I don't know. There's just a lot of adjustment periods when you come into pro ball and you kind of have to strip away what you knew. So it really doesn't matter the level. You know, I came out of junior college, and I know guys that came out of, you know, high school or whatever the main college baseball was at the time. And, you know, there's first rounders that haven't panned out, and there's 50th rounders that have. So the draft being limited, they seem to think that they're going to get the diamonds all to the rise to the top. But you're missing out on a bunch of guys that know how to play baseball that just need a little bit more time probably.
Let's talk about the Brewers' first half of the season. I guess we call it the first half because it's the All-Star break now. But I've been kind of saying this, this has to be one of the better jobs Craig Counsell has done. If you look up and down that lineup as far as, you know, what they've been putting out there versus maybe what they thought they were going to have at the beginning of the year, you look at the injuries and the rotating door on the Brewers' bullpen and so forth, guys shuffling back and forth, which is, I guess, a Brewers norm to this point. Guys like Colin Ray stepping up and pitching really well, considering that there wasn't probably a lot of expectations he was going to be a part of this rotation. Woodruff goes down, and he fills in the void, I think, pretty nicely. It really has been, I don't know if I would say they're overachieving, but maybe they're overachieving a little bit based on the numbers that we're looking at.
Sure. Well, I said the other day to somebody, just kind of offhand, this team, I feel like under different management, wouldn't be as successful.
I agree.
I think Craig Counsell has managed this club impeccably to the point where, yes, they, you know, at towards the top of the NL Central, but at the same time, like, they have so much potential because they've gotten around all these injuries and hopefully, you know, continue to do that as the season goes. And I don't know. I feel like what was missing last year was just a big step up performance. They just needed that one big someone to have a big season. And I think right now you're starting to see the emergence of a couple of guys, and especially Christian Yelich. I mean, he is just, you know, doing a fantastic job. And you look at Joey Weimer, the impact he's had. And so William Contreras, like, you guys are having big seasons. Guys are doing some really good things. And Counsell's, to me, he's just maximized it that much more. And he's willing to work. I feel like years past, there's a lot of times he would set a certain way and just be, you know, this is what we're going to live and die by. But now it's like, if you're not producing, you're going to AAA. If you are producing, you'll be back here. If you can't bat in the two hole, you'll be in the six hole. And just, I mean, he's shuffling a lot of stuff and trying to find that right code. And I think he's done a great job.
You bring up an interesting point, because I was surprised they sent Urias down. Very surprised, even though he was struggling. Normally, you know, you let that guy play. Terang getting set down, I guess I was surprised by that as well, because defensively, there's not many better than him defensively. Joey Weimer, if you look at his numbers, power numbers, obviously very good. But if you look at his numbers, they're nothing to write home about. But again, defensively, very good. And he's been able to hold that job and play every day.
Well, there's only a handful of guys across baseball that have double-digit homers and double-digit stolen bases. So.
Yep.
What Joey Weimer's been able to do is pretty elite. And you just look at defense in general. This whole team's built around defense, and it has a lot to do with the guys up the middle, not only just the catchers, but, of course, second base and Terang and Adames, especially Weimer, because that's everything kind of stems from that. And so defense, they have one of the top three in all of baseball just because they take runs off the board. And so a lot of times when you start taking runs away and putting your team in a position, you can't add that to your offensive numbers. I wish we could do that with Joey Weimer, because he'd be one of the better players in the game, I think. So, but it'll come around. And, you know, there's a lot of categories that he is up in the top of when it comes to NL rookies. So anyway, I think he's done a fantastic job. And honestly, I think he's kind of being a leader in a lot of ways, because he has been in that lineup. I mean, you can't keep him off that field.
Yep.
I feel like he's only had a couple of days off since the second day of the season.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, he's there every day. I am playing every day. And obviously injuries have hurt this team a little bit as well. One of the major ones, Brandon Woodruff being out. Now, he's expected back by the end of the month and start getting on rehab probably here after the All-Star break. How big of a jolt in the arm is going to be for this team having him back in that clubhouse and pitching every fifth day?
Yeah, we brought it up the last day before the All-Star break and the last game, and Craig Kishon, who just loves dropping these nuggets in there, he was just talking about the way the Brewers are handling this situation and who he's talked to, and he said they want him completely healthy. Like, they will drag this out as long as need be to get him back healthy. Even if that means, hey, we don't see him till August, or hey, we don't see him till September. You want, because when he's healthy, he's on, and every single time he toes the rubber, you have a chance to win a ball game. And they would rather have him completely healthy later on in the season rather than try to rush him back and not knowing what they're going to get. So anyway, I find that actually profound, because that's exactly what this team is doing. They are trying to make sure he is coming back 100% healthy. And they actually took about a week and a half off between bullpens because, yeah, I don't think he was bouncing back as quickly, but he did throw last time out. He was in the low 90s, and he was spinning curveballs and sliders, which tells me, you know, they're ramping up, getting him ready. So that, to me, yes, every time he's on the mound, they have a chance to win.
What about Abner Uribe? He gets called up. There's video of him, obviously, you know, crying and talking to his mom about getting called up to Milwaukee. He comes up, pitches a couple innings, walks a couple of guys, strikes out a couple of guys. What do you make of him and what he may mean for this bullpen? Maybe he's not long for this bullpen going forward. I don't know, but throw 103 miles an hour, you're going to be somewhere.
Yes. Hey, do they count him in throwing the eighth or ninth inning? I don't think so. Not yet. He can pitch himself into, you know, that type of leverage. But right now, I think what they're trying to do is lay a little bit of foundation, a little bit of groundwork moving forward, because he has such an electric arm. And they want him to be around Hook. They want him to be around all those coaches in the clubhouse to help get him better. Jim Henderson in the bullpen, they want him around those guys to make him better, because his stuff plays. Man, his stuff is it's absolutely electric. Moving at 100 miles an hour is pretty elite stuff. So if they can just get whatever they can out of him, that'd be great. If he can go multiple innings, then hey, if the game's out of hand one way or the other, got a 5-run lead, he is going to be your guy. And the more that he builds on that, then you start looking at, like, this dude could be polished by the end of the season. And if this is a playoff team, he could be a guy we see pitching playoffs.
I want to get your thought on something. Me and my buddy, who I talk to like every day about the Brewers, go back and forth. And he said, you know, regardless of who they seemingly pick up nowadays, they make work one way or the other as far as a pitcher goes. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at the opposite spectrum as far as hitting goes the last couple of years, you don't have that same type of success necessarily with the hitting. Let's first start with the pitching. Obviously, I think I know the answer, but you're there. You talk to him a lot more than anybody else. What about Chris Hook? Just how good is a job that he's doing as that pitching coach right now?
Well, I think the number one job of a pitching coach is to pay attention. And I've known Hookie a long time. He made jokes when he was my coach in Double A. He would make jokes to the team like, yeah, back when me and Dilly were on the same team, you know, we were never on the same team as players. But that's his joke. And anyway, he would pay attention. So I've used this analogy a lot. I have others, but this is the best one. One day I was playing catch with David Goforth. We were in Double A. I was the oldest guy.
I remember Goforth.
And yeah. So he was the closer. I was the eighth inning guy. And you know, we're playing catch one day, and I decided something just felt a little good with my front side, and I was really exploding through. And I was throwing some balls, and Goforth was like, man, that's coming out of your hand really well. And I was like, oh, thank you. Anyway, it felt that good that even I threw it in the bullpen that night and then took it to the game. So I literally was trying something in flat ground, playing catch, and then took it to the ball game. It worked, came in the dugout, and I sit down, and Hookie comes over and was just like, hey, Timmy, you doing something a little different out there? And I almost didn't even know what he was talking about, because it was such a subtle thing. And I was like, what? And he's like, with your front side. I was like, oh, yeah, just figured out a little something on the front side, kind of helps me get through. Makes my stuff play. I tried it in the bullpen. It worked. I was like, I think it worked out there. He goes, I like it. He goes, I like it. I think you should keep it. And he walked off. And so in that moment, there could have been so many other things. He could have came over and just said, hey, good job. He could have said nothing at all. But he was paying attention to my outing. And I'm, like I said, I'm the grizzled vet, you know, that probably has seen it and done it and had probably, you know, 10 different deliveries in my career. And he just comes over and notices that he saw something very small. So when he is watching these pitchers, he has it that much more. He can watch all these guys. He knows their mechanics. He sees all the film, and nothing can get by him. That's what I love about him, because he just pays attention. Nothing sneaks past, and not everything has to be a big deal. And he can say, hey, I like this. I don't like this. And he's just a very calm and soothing presence that pays attention. I'm telling you, that goes a long way.
I would assume you garner a ton of respect from the players when a coach pays that close of attention, because I would assume all coaches probably don't.
Well, I would say, I would say, especially in the minor leagues, you know, it's just who cares, right? It, or, you know, as far as a coaching standpoint, it's kind of like, eh, I got to worry about all these guys. We're all trying to get to the big leagues. I get it, I get it, because it is time consuming and it does take your attention and focus. But as a player, you just want to know someone's paying attention, right? Like when I was towing a rubber in AAA and at midnight and it's raining and there's no fans in the stands and they're about to cut the lights off on you. Dude, does anybody really care what pitch you throw? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Who cares? But he makes those moments seem significant. And he, it is in the big leagues. That's where the highest peak is. And he wants everybody to know that this is significant. I'm taking my job serious. I know what I'm doing and I'm trying to help you. And once you have that baseline, everything stems from it. And I think he's done a great job just communicating with these players and just letting them know that, hey, this matters and I'm right here with you.
I want to talk about the hitting side now, because in this draft, I feel like there was a philosophical change. And I'm assuming this was Matt Arnold, because David Stearns is, I guess, no longer technically running this thing. But you draft a corner infielder in Brock Wilkin. They don't do that. And I've said before that if David Stearns was the GM, and I love David Stearns, they never would have drafted Prince Fielder when the Brewers did, because he wouldn't have fit their model of up-the-middle type guys that are versatile. But Brock Wilkin, the third baseman from Wake Forest, they draft. They draft the third baseman from Nebraska, Omaha. And they draft the shortstop, Cooper Pratt, from Magnolia Heights High School in Mississippi, who they think they can pay and get him in versus going to Ole Miss to play baseball. But all three of those guys are like 6'3", 6'4", power dudes. And that's something that in the past, the Brewers really have not explored at this point. My question is this. If you were, and I'm putting you in this role, I'm not asking you to criticize anybody, but if you were building this roster for that ballpark, what would you be looking for from a hitter perspective? I remember Doug Melvin's goal was always, I want, you know, plus power at every position is what he was trying to do when he was building his lineup at every position. That's what he was trying to do. How would you go about it?
I would just try to find hitters. I feel like power is something that you could end up getting, right? Like a lot of these guys are really young. They haven't seen what, you know, professional training looks like. And you can almost add power. I feel like that's, I mean, you just grow up, you get stronger. Like I feel like power is something that can come later on. I could be way wrong, but I would look for guys that can just hit. Can you hit? Do you have the ability to hit the ball to right field? Do you have the ability to pull the ball to left field on a fastball in? What kind of bat control do you have? Can you square up a ball? Do you barrel it? I don't care if a guy's hitting all singles. I would draft a guy batting, I don't know what's good in college now.
400.
500.
Yeah,
guy,
500. Yeah,
if guy's batting 500 but hadn't hit a home run, I'd be like, dude, you're my first rounder. Look at Luis Arraez for the Marlins. I mean, the guy has a chance to bat 400 this year, the first time since anyone did it since Ted Williams. So you're starting to go, okay, well, is that valuable? Well, in this day and age, yeah, he's pretty much turned around the Marlins season. In a lot of ways, because he is such an impactful guy, always on base, willing to drive in runs. I don't care how many home runs he has. But if you have three or four of those dudes all around the team, that's how many more hits per game. And that's how many more hits per game with people on base. So, yeah, home runs, I think they'll come. Everybody will run into one. And who knows, maybe you get some power along the way. But if you just shop for power, a lot of times you're going to be left with, you know, the guy that bats 200 and it's 25 homers and has 80 RBIs, and there's a place for that, but you can't have five of those on a team. You need some guys to get on base. There's different ways to do it, but I think right now these rules that are new to this season, if you can hit, you will be rewarded for it. If you can put the ball in play, you will be rewarded for it, and I think that may be a little bit of what they're trying to do because they have such a strong pitching program set in place. Now it's time to get some bats.
I have one last one. We've already went too long, so I apologize for that. How do you view strikeouts by hitters? Because a lot of these guys are like, an out's an out. It doesn't matter. It's an out. And they don't worry about strikeout as much. And back in the day, with Jose Hernandez, strikeouts were a big thing, obviously, back in the day. I hate strikeouts. I'd rather you make contact and put the ball in play. That they drive me nuts. How do you view strikeouts looking at it from a hitter perspective?
Well, I mean, I was drafted twice by the Brewers as a catcher. And I was good behind the dish, but I could swing it a little bit. I like to think so anyway. And I hated striking out. I just did. With two strikes, I'd rather just shorten up and I would take my single, you know, start looking where, okay, everybody shifted over here. I have a chance over here. And what am I going to see? Well, I'm probably going to see a breaking ball. It's like if I swing to the fence, I'm swinging right through it. So, you know, I would shorten up, choke up on the bat, and, spread out the legs a little bit, try to get lower, and try to just put it in play and play a little pepper. But that was me. That's the kind of player I want to be. And I think if you look at the last 10 years, maybe, nobody really cares.
Nope.
I guess management doesn't care if you strike out or not. So it's almost like a personal decision. But if you look at a couple of the big hitters across baseball that don't strike out and have higher average, they talk about how they just hate strikeouts. You have to loathe them as a position player. You have to. And if you ever feel comfortable striking out, then that's probably where you start tipping over the edge of not good, because then you start going, well, now I'm a power guy. I have to hit for power. And then you start swinging for the fence and it becomes a vicious circle on your mind. So for me, it was all about bat control, trying to put the ball in play. You're going to get your hits. You're going to get your extra base hits. If you're a good hitter, that's just going to happen. But at the same time, if your strikeouts are through the roof, you're not doing anything helpful, right? You can still score runs by getting on base. So yes, always kids, if you're listening, which I don't know if kids have listened to your to this or not, but try not to strike out. And it's not a fearful thing. It's I'm going to put the ball in play before this guy can throw it by me.
Exactly right. Tim Dillard, follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Of course, Brewers Unfiltered with Adam McKelvey and Sophia Minert. Did you guys record this week or All-Star Week? Are you guys off?
Yeah, we took it off. I think McKelvey's actually in Seattle, so he'll have a report back from that. I'm sure we have a huge draft episode coming, so I'll do my homework for that. But yes, nothing new this week. It should be coming out probably this time next week.
And of course, it's brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant, our weekly segments with our guy Tim Dillard over there. And again, it's the iconic restaurant from Major League. And you walk in and you're thinking it's a burger and beer joint. And it can be a burger and beer joint if that's what you want to have at it. They're great burgers. But it also has some more elevated food than just burgers, Tim Dillard.
Absolutely. Go in there and find some seafood, grab you a steak, probably some lamb chops at one point. Every time I go in there, I have to order something good because it's some of the freshest and best food you can find out there.
So good. So good. So check out Fourth Base Restaurant as well. Tim, we'll do this again next week, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Enjoy your All-Star break.
Yeah, you got it, Sparky. Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.